We've been in a series on the book of James. We took a week off last week, of course, for Thanksgiving. But this is James, and the series is called A Living Faith. This is part 7. And the name of today's message is Wisdom from Above. How many enjoy having the Bible as our textbook? The Bible is our textbook. We want to learn and we want to grow. Now, as we cover some ground, a little bit of rehearsal of where we've been. James is written to a scattered body of Jewish Christian believers. It's a relatively early book in the New Testament. The book is not full of doctrine, profound teachings like Paul might give us, but it's full of profound life-changing truth, which does change us. James helps us to focus on Jesus. Even in trials, we're to rejoice. And we're not to have two minds or two spirits. And if you have a double-minded spirit or a double spirit, thinking that God might be a solution or the world might present a solution and they're on equal ground, that's what that Greek means in that section of Scripture. You won't receive anything from the Lord if that's your perspective. There needs to be a full-hearted surrender to Jesus as Lord. And then he will speak to you and guide you. James tells us that real Christianity is really lived. And it shows up in how we walk and how we talk and how we act. Now, profoundly, I think, James doesn't lay on us that we need to all be missionaries to the depth of Africa. We have some in our midst who have been missionaries in China and elsewhere around the world, and whose children are still there, and we rejoice and give honor to that. But God's not calling us all to the jungles of Africa. God's not calling us all to individually feed millions, or to give away all our money to the poor, or to be an individual miracle worker. But James chooses topics that hit us right where we live every day. I'd like you to turn to James chapter 3, if you would, please. If you don't have a Bible, we have some at the back of the room, and just slip up your hand and someone around you from here can get you one. But there's scriptures to be able to read along with. We'll also put them on the overhead. So, chapter 3, I've got to confess to you, I spent time, a long time, in chapter 3 yesterday. And man, was it convicting. There was plenty of opportunity to repent and spend time with the Lord. So my purpose as a pastor this morning is just to share the blessing. Okay, all right. Anyway, it is. If you spend time in James chapter 3, you can't come out of James chapter 3 without facing Jesus. And without facing how we live. And what it does with me, and the whole book of James does this, is leads me to the Lord. God, help me. I can't live this perfectly. Well, thank God for grace in Jesus Christ. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that guides us and conforms us and works with us. And the point of this morning's chapter is, if you're a real Christian, it shows up in your tongue. It shows up in how you speak. And what he concludes the chapter with is the bottom line of how we speak comes from the motivation of our heart. And we need to discern the spirit behind what we and others speak. As for me, I want to choose wisdom from above. Amen? Amen? James chapter 1, verse 26, by way of rehearsal that outlines or leads us to this chapter, James chapter 1, verse 26 says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is, say it with me please, useless. New American Standard Bible says, worthless. The Message says, this man's religion is hot air and only hot air. Pastor Sherry might say, it's not worth the powder to blow it up. So, do you want a real faith? Do you want a real walk with God? Then what happens is, he changes our hearts, and out of our heart, our mouth speaks. And what comes out of our mouth is different. What he really says in James 1:26, by putting a bit in it, you might say in today's language, put a sock in it. Put a sock in it. If you call yourself a Christian, but you don't control what comes out of your mouth, then your heart is deceived, and you don't really have the real deal. When Jesus controls your heart, he's Lord over everything, including your mouth and what you see. Now, how many know that this time of year is just a wonderful blessing, and there's absolutely no stress that goes with the season? All right, how many could raise your other hand saying you understand there's a lot of stress that goes with this season? Suicide rates are usually higher at these times of year. Loneliness is acute, but the stress of all the preparations for family and friends, and you just can't wait for them to come, and then you just can't wait for them to go. No, sorry. Anyway, there's the stressful time of year and shopping and all of those kinds of things, but there is something that should mark us out differently. The Spirit of the Lord is on us and in us, and we should radiate something different. If you're up at 3 in the morning doing some of those sales, well, hopefully you've rubbed the sleep out of your eyes and you can radiate something of the presence of the Lord even at that time of day. But there should be something different that marks us out. Put a bit in it. Put a sock in it. Otherwise, your religion is vain, empty, worthless, and useless, is what the Greek says. Now, James, in this context, is coming against teachers and so-called believers who use their words to get position for themselves. And the main reason they were doing it, and there were a multitude of teachers trying to do that at this time. That's why when you go to James chapter 3, he starts off with saying, now not everyone should try to be a teacher. Because there were a lot of people trying to get followers after them, and one of the main purposes was to stir up the zealot spirit to go to war against Rome. And they were leading believers astray. And James was saying, listen, if you're a real Christian, you've got a real different spirit than that. Interesting. We have those same kinds of things that want to stir us up today. But it was to riot against the government. It was a huge problem for them. Don't join their spirit, James says. But let Jesus control you and bring forth the fruit of Jesus. All right. Prove your maturity by your mouth. Turn to each other and say, prove your maturity by your mouth. Now look back at that person and say, don't talk to me like that. All right. James chapter 3. We're going to do a few verses at a time here. James chapter 3. 1 through 18 is our section. Beginning in verse 1, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers. We just spoke about that. Knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word or how he speaks, he is a perfect man. And that, of course, means in the Greek, a mature. His faith is coming to maturity. And he's also able to bridle the whole body. If you can control your tongue, you've got a leg up on a good measure of self-control. How many are still growing in that? All right, thought I had the right group. Me too. Maturity. Maturity. Being like Jesus. Growing. Self-control. Ruling over your attitudes, over your hearts, and over your mouth. That's what it takes to become a Christian, he is saying. Or become a teacher, rather. Many Jews wanted to be seen. They wanted to be a rabbi. To have preeminence and position. And stir up followers. How many understand that having knowledge doesn't fill you with wisdom? A lot of people with a lot of degrees serving burgers at McDonald's that don't have much wisdom. If you beat people up with what you know, that's not the Spirit of the Lord, is it? All right, so to whom do you listen? How do you get wisdom? Can I just bring it aside? Now listen, you guys. I'm kind of a feisty guy. I'm a passionate guy. I like life. I like joy. And sometimes I've got to really watch my spirit because things that cross me the wrong way, I go, you know. Don't, you're all looking so sanctified at me. Like, sure glad you're the only one who goes through that. But sometimes I can watch certain news shows and my bottom line after watching them is fury. Now, I don't mind being informed, and I want to be informed with a much better spirit and a much better balance of truth than what you're going to get from a lot of news outlets. But you know something? We have to watch whatever we get input from. What spirit is it of? Especially since some of the people aren't hard news, they're entertainment. And they're commentators. And so what spirit of you are you of? James was wrestling with this in his day when the zealots were trying to stir people up to go get warfare going against Rome. And he concludes with, we wrestle not, this is part of the context of it, but, the scripture says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Now, that might not, I'm going to quote that a little later, might not be exactly in James, but the point is, take it to prayer. Be the opposite of the world. Don't drink from the spirit of the world. Watch your spirit, and therefore then, watch what comes out of your mouth. Angry people do angry things, and angry people say angry things. Let's use an illustration. One of the most profound pictures of what Jesus suffered that was put on screen was done by Mel Gibson, The Passion of the Christ. That was one of the most profound movies. Whether it dealt enough with the resurrection, it didn't for my purposes, but it was one of the most graphic, one of the most real portrayals that we've ever seen visually of what Jesus went through. How many of you understand, I'm certain, that that opened the door for every demonic attack to come upon that man? My prayer in front of you here today and my desire is to see Mel Gibson come to an amazing repentance experience and have a testimony to share with the world. Jesus heals broken people. Come on, say amen with me. Jesus heals broken people. Mel Gibson, by the words of his mouth, has possibly now destroyed an incredible career of directing, producing, writing, and acting. Maybe he'll come around again. But church, how many of you know that's the same kind of thing? It's a living illustration for us of what we can do. We can self-destruct and ruin relationships and ruin careers and ruin families and by the words of our mouth. So what we put in will come out. Come on, I say, what you put in will come out. So, I'm not saying don't watch the news. I still watch the news. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about drinking from the Spirit. Be careful of the Spirit that you drink from and watch what Spirit you are of. So that what comes out, fill yourself with the Spirit of God. Fill yourself with the Word of God. I'd love to say, let's read the Bible for every hour equal to what we watch TV or the news or entertainment with. How many would love to say amen? Amen. How many didn't raise your hands because you know you're not going to do that? But what goes in comes out. So let's make sure it's the Spirit of the Lord that comes back out. We prove our maturity by our mouth, okay? So, again, it's Ephesians 6:12. It's up there, I think. Might be in one of the next pages. It wasn't James, but it's Ephesians 6:12, where it says, maybe I don't have it, Pat, that's okay. It says, wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Our victory is waged in spiritual warfare. We go to prayer and ask God to change things. To whom do you listen? All right, your tongue influences. Turn to each other, say, your tongue influences. Are you like Jesus or like the devil? Are you like Jesus or like the devil? Come on, Pastor Kev, I only said a little. I only did a little. I hardly said anything. Listen, you guys, I'm just razored by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Spirit of God, the Bible, is a two-edged sword. And I will confess to you, this is, and it should be convicting to all of us. You know what the Bible does? Shows us how much we need Jesus. I, for one, in front of you as your pastor, am not ashamed to say, I need Jesus more than ever before. Anybody else say amen? Amen? So turn to each other now and say, I know you need Jesus too. It's a little less convicting to do it that way, isn't it? Your tongue influences. Are you like Jesus or like the devil? Indeed, we put bits. Now watch, just little things make huge differences. We put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. We turn their whole body. Some horses are just massive. You talk to Vern. Vern doesn't really like horses. As a teenager, he had to work with horses. And he didn't like horses. I don't think they liked him very much either. He probably wouldn't say it quite that way. But man, some of them, they're just strong and they got strength and there's mass. A little bit in their mouth will turn them. Verse 4, look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned, say it with me please, by a very small rudder whenever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Watch this one. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. You've heard the stories in the last many years of a campfire not completely put out that just burns hundreds of thousands of acres. Quit living in denial about the impact of your spirit and your words upon others. A little does a lot. Are you like Jesus or not? And if it's not at that moment, then it's like the devil. Say a corporate with me, would you? Ouch! That's convicting. What do you say to your spouse, to your kids, to your grandkids, the clerk at the store? How about the driver who cuts you off? There's a fun one. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it's set on fire by hell. I read quite a long dissertation about some of these verses. And one of the interpretations of this set of scripture is the imagery of a man taken by the Romans and laid out on the wheel of a rack with his bones and ligaments torn out of their sockets, and they would heat up a fire of coal underneath his back laying on this rounded wheel. And the torture was incredible. And they're saying that's most likely what James had in mind as a picture when he was saying, and that's the fire that our tongue sets others on fire with. Now that's graphic. But I'm a nice guy. Some of you are looking like, no, you're not. But I'm a nice guy. And you can say it with me, but I'm a nice girl. Come on, say it with me. But I'm a nice guy. Now, girls should have said girls, okay? Guys should not have said girls. But I'm a nice guy. But the picture, the vivid illustration. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature on the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of, say it with me please, deadly poison. Now look at James's illustration, deadly poison. What he's really saying and what we need to look at our lives with. Do you strike like a snake with venom? Let me ask you a question. When did it become okay in our society for people to use the F word at every situation? When did it become okay to sit and curse out one another and to have every other word be like what we used to call truck driver talk? When did it become okay for filthy cursing to come out of our mouth and we wonder why our kids have problems and our entertainment is going straight to hell in a handbasket? When did it become okay to not have the Spirit of the Lord?
They took the Bible out of the school.
They took the Bible out of the school.
Right on.
Took the Ten Commandments out of our, tried to take it out of our courtrooms. Civility. You go back to George Washington and he read a whole, or wrote a whole book on the laws of civility. People don't know how to relate like that anymore. Oh God. Are we really Christian? Then what we do and say is different. Last week I used an illustration. I'm only going to say it just really quickly. I used an illustration about humor for off-colored things and that sometimes we find it funny. I want to give you some barriers for that. I'm not watching off-color stuff. I want you to know that. I don't want anybody to stumble over that. But the issue is, sometimes when you're watching a TV program or a movie, it'll come quickly out of left field, and you won't even be able to prepare yourself for it. Bang, it's there. And what I found sometimes is some of the dialogue is funny. And then I grieve in my spirit saying, Lord, why did I find that funny? Let my heart change. I'm not trying to be a monk sitting in a corner somewhere, but I really want to be like Jesus with my whole heart. And I believe that's why you're here. Amen? You want to be like Jesus? With it, our mouth, we bless our God and Father. And with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Even God's creation shows us that there's not to be hypocrisy in purpose. There's not to be hypocrisy in purpose. Everything in life cooperates with God in this way, except man, His highest creation. So Lord, keep working with us. How's your fruit? I'm not trying to be mean here this morning. I'm just telling you, here's James chapter 3. Now I suppose what I could have done is just jump to James chapter 4. But if you read James chapter 4, it would have been incredibly convicting. I could have gone to James chapter 5. One more time, incredibly convicting. I think maybe next week, because this is so convicting, I'll just go to the last verse of James that says, and so my brethren have peace. James is in the Scriptures as a reality check for each of us. So when you're convicted, what do you do with conviction? You go to Jesus. You agree with Him. So, Lord, You're right, I'm wrong, forgive me, cleanse me through the blood, and you repent. And by grace, you receive forgiveness and mercy. Let's build up. Let's not destroy. Let's not damage a lifetime of friendship, relationship, whatever it might be, by a simple word. Psalm 141, verse 3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Is this your prayer? Lord, set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Out of the Message, it says, post a guard at my mouth, God. Set a watch at the door of my lips. Out of the New Living, take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. Psalm 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Now, I'm going to give you four words. Four words in the New Testament that deal with the sin of the tongue. Just going to give them to you quickly, and I've got them up here. Pretty interesting as you see them unfold. These are words that we sin in these ways with the tongue. And God says, don't go this way. Number one is the word blasphemy. Blasphemy. Two parts to that word. Blas, which is harsh, harsh, and themia is speech. Harsh speech. Before blasphemy in the New Testament in the Greek, it used to always relate to blaspheming one another. Don't be full of harsh speech toward one another or toward God. How about evil speaking? There's another one, evil speaking. Katalalia. Katalalia. And it means kata is down, lalia, speech, to put someone down. Show of hands. How many have ever done that? Okay. Yeah, me too. Harsh speech? Putting someone down? The Bible says, don't speak evil of one another. How about the Bible says, don't be whisperers and backbiters? The word whisperer in the Greek, I'm going to have a little trouble here, is pronounced like what it means. It starts like a snake's sound, the PSI. Psst. It sounds like a whisperer, doesn't it? Psst. And then like a snake, peristhes, backbitings, and whisperings. Now, whisperers are secret slanderers. Backbiters are much more public in their evil speaking. Now, nobody's ever done either of those things. Isn't that right? Oh, you're too quiet. All right. If that's anything you're involved in, gathering together as a group afterwards and being critical, whispering, don't like this, don't like that, that's not of God. You see what I'm saying? We're here to be, how many know we were here to be encouragers and blessers? Praisers and worshipers. Different spirit. And then the fourth one is complaining. Gongismos. Gongismos. Banging the gong. Gongismos. The grumbling undertones of complaint. Paul says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. These are sins of the tongue which destroy relationships, destroy churches, destroy ministries. It is not of God. Come on, someone say it with me. It is not of God. If you have a problem with the pastor or with me or with anyone, the Bible says what? Go to the person. Talk it over to the person. Don't be gonging your brother. Don't be speaking down to your brother or speaking down about your brother or a whisperer or a backbiter. Sins of the tongue. And then you wonder why you have problems. You see, by the way, you know, once you start into something negative, then all of a sudden, lots of things get seen as negative. You know how that works, don't you? You know, did you see Cece's tie this morning? Oh, I'm sorry, you helped pick it out. Sorry. Did you see Cece's tie this morning?
Yeah.
But you know, and all of a sudden...
And she did.
Big divisions get made over stupid little things. Come on. Big divisions get made over stupid little things. And churches are destroyed by it. Let us stand instead in the Spirit of the Lord and say, we will not put up with it. Amen? Come on, somebody say,
I ain't
gonna put up with it. So turn to your neighbor and say, so stop it. No. Okay. Listen, if there's not a little humor, we're never going to make it through this chapter, I know. And in closing, the point is, this is where the rubber hits the road. This is a reality check in our lives. And relationships are destroyed by stupid little stuff. And the more you enter into whispering and backbiting about it, the more things you pick up to whisper and backbite about. And they're stupid little things. Let's be blessers. Come on. Let's be blessers. Turn to each other and say, I love you and bless you in the Lord. Now, didn't that feel better? I love you and bless you in the Lord. I'm glad you're here. Turn to each other. I'm glad you're here. You're good looking. All right. Now let's go deeper and we'll wrap this up within 5 minutes here or 10 minutes or maybe an hour. Your motivation moves your mouth. 10 minutes. Your motivation moves your mouth. Verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Where does it come from? The anger, the rage, the frustration. Where does this stuff come from that we sometimes fall into? Matthew 12:34, second half. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. New American Standard. The mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The message. It's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. Well, that's pretty clear.
Yeah.
New Living. Whatever is in your heart determines what you say. That's why James tells us that real Christianity, if you are really a Christian, it impacts what you really do and say. What are the issues? Why do we do this? Why do I strike back? Maybe the person embarrassed me, which is what? Pride. Maybe my pride was hurt, so I want to hurt them. Maybe it's control. I want to be number one. Maybe I just want to win the argument. Or maybe I want revenge. And the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Maybe I want what they have. I covet their position or their money or their influence, their ministry or their favor. If you are a believer and this stuff comes raging up from you, what spirit are you of? Now, the Bible says be angry and sin not. Sometimes there's going to be anger. Sometimes there's going to be confrontation. Yes, I know Jesus turned over the money changers. Peter was the one that Jesus looked at and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." I don't think at that moment Jesus casually looked at him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." I don't think that's how he handled that. "Get thee behind me, Satan." Yes, there is a place. Be angry and sin not. Okay? So I'm not saying we become wimps as Christians. But I'm saying overall, you didn't see him talking to Peter like that every day, did you? You didn't see him turning money changers' tables over every day. I remember Pastor Sherry teaching us on a class that she was teaching, and she said, "You know, I'll bet Jesus was angry at the money changers every single day, every time he saw them. But he only overturned their tables a couple of times." So how do you express it? What do? Earthly, sensual, demonic, or wisdom from above? Proverbs 18:21. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." We'll reap what we sow. All right? True repentance brings wisdom from above. What do we do this morning? We repent. We go to Jesus. We ask Him to wash us clean by the blood, as I've already shared. We define righteous speech as He does. Verse 17, "But the wisdom that is from above," and I'd like you to read this out loud with me, please, "is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy." I have sat across from people, basically people at times in my life who... this particular incident I'm thinking of, or a few of them, they did not want to yield to Jesus. And I was being a pastor in their life and trying to kindly point out that's an area that's going to destroy your life. And I have had some people literally rage at me and give me their interpretation of the Scripture. Well, wisdom from above is first pure, clean, washed by the blood, wanting Jesus' will, wanting to please the Lord. Then, peaceable. Is that wisdom you're giving me right now pure and peaceable? Loves peace, brings peace with it. I want to help you find peace again. Because our ministry is to restore one another if someone falls or has a problem. And if you can't soften that person's spirit, Pastor Sherry, I referred to you several times this morning. I remember these things. They become a part of my life, and I'm sure yours as well. But I remember her talking about if you can't make a change in that person's spirit, because you can't control them, then maybe if they're attacking you, maybe you're an employee on the job, and it's not right, but it happens. You find yourself in the bubble of God's presence and protection. You surround yourself with it's descriptive to say a bubble of protection. Come on, has anybody ever, show of hands, anybody ever yelled at you wrongly? And you weren't guilty? We all have. We all have. And man, no matter how much you try to get them to change their spirit, they're going to still just be angry at you because that's what they want to be. Okay, then you have to find your place in peace before the Lord, where the Holy Spirit is your guard and your protection, and try to do our best to love those people in spite of it, and pray that they'll see it. It's a lot easier when the Holy Spirit shows us sin in our lives, doesn't it? It really is. And so anyway, you find yourself in a bubble of God's protection. So pure, then peaceable, gentle, it's appropriate, it's moderate, it's quiet, easy to be entreated, willing to yield is what that means. Easy to be entreated. God's wisdom, as James says in the first chapter, says calm down, quiet down, and listen to reason. I've told you before how many times my wife, Gail, would try to suggest a different alternative. I'd get a head of steam going, and she'd say, "Now, wait a minute." And I finally learned to listen. And when I did, I was blessed. And when I didn't, it always messed up. I always messed up. So, easy to be entreated. Stop for a moment. Look at what's going on. How's your heart? What do you say? You realize even in a disagreement, you can disagree agreeably. Amen? Full of mercy, which means compassion, good fruits, like something refreshing that brings life. Without partiality, you're not going to bias or do favoritism. You're going to stand on truth. And without hypocrisy, meaning sincere. Above all, as real Christians, this chapter is a spirit check on us. How are we doing? Let restoration always be our goal. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You may not always be able to make peace with the person, but you can always be at peace. It takes work. It takes a real change. Jesus changed me. I know I needed a lot more. Romans 12:18, if it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Romans 12:18 out of the New Living, do all you can to live at peace with everyone. Be at peace as much as you can. Our words can bring life. Our words can bring encouragement. Turn to each other again, say, I love you and encourage you in the Lord. I love you and encourage you in the Lord. People all around you, when you go shopping, Christmas shopping, there are a lot of people in a lot of stress, and you don't know the situation somebody's in. Maybe the person cut you off in the car ahead of you, and I hate it as much as you do. But maybe they just found out someone close to them has a great illness, or someone's died, or there's some tragedy happening in their life. Maybe they're just a jerk, but maybe something happened. You know, give them the benefit of the doubt. You look at me and say, I'm giving them plenty of doubt. But when we're out there at this shopping season and this stressful time and the clerks behind the counter, they're going to make some mistakes. And I get as mad as you do, and I'm trying my best. Jesus, help me change my own attitude. And let the things that I say bring life and blessing. We came to be and bring a blessing. Let the Spirit of the Lord speak to us and speak through us. Can someone say with me, I'm guilty, Lord. Change me. Make me more like you than ever before. Let's stand. Lord, I choose wisdom from above. Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning. If you'll come, let's do Spirit of the Living God again. We thank you for the opportunity this morning to examine our own hearts and minds. We thank you for the opportunity again to come and let your word change us. Thank you for the cleansing blood of Jesus that makes a difference in our lives. Lord, we thank you that James, wow, what a tough customer. He's not always a pleasant book to read. But Lord, I thank you that it comes right down to where the rubber hits the road in our lives and where we live. Lord, together we commit ourselves to choosing wisdom from above. You heard our commitments. And Lord, set that watch over our mouth, so out of our mouth and out of our heart, we bless one another in the name of the Lord. And if you've given your life to the Lord and you want to take time to meet with Jesus, come on up. Though we turn the chairs around, we can kneel. If you want prayer, we're here to pray with you. If you need healing in your body, we believe the Lord brings healing. It'd be an honor to pray with you. Above all, go out in the Spirit of the Lord. Don't anyone go condemned. We're all in the same boat. Do you see all those hands here this morning? Lord, change me. Let's encourage each other in the Lord. When we see each other this week, let's encourage and bless each other. Amen?